Sophia.
And this is Breakpoint Radio, your irregular takeaway of tech news, views and cafe reviews.
Right, so today breakpointing from South Bank and from Le Pen.
Today.
Is that French? Yeah. Someone tell me it was might be Portuguese. Doesn't look Portuguese.
Looks French.
Looks French. Le Pen, well, the place that the link's going to be in the show notes for, so, because I can't say it. Right, let's get the ball rolling. Okay, so the Amazon Echo show, did you see it?
I did,
see it. Yeah, can't even pre-order them in this country yet.
Oh, really?
But, yeah,
well, the Echo came out in America quite a long time before it came out in the UK.
Yeah, it looks cool.
It does look cool.
I don't know if it's worth the money, but... like an extra, looks like it's an extra 50 or 100 quid, but
yeah, and I wonder how much more it would feel to you than say the Alexa that's on your Fire Stick remote, if you get one of those.
Yeah, I've got one of those. That's do you know what though, for ages I've used old mobile phones with Skype on to do video calling, or actually no, I've had like Raspberry Pis and God knows what stuck to the back of the TV to do like Hangouts and stuff. To have something
that's an intense
that
was, setup
for us. Oh, so like this used to be when we had grandparents who lived so far away that we'd like do Skype or Hangout calls and stuff with grandparents. So actually, something that's like picture frame size. Yeah, I get it from that front. Just a bit weird on all the other stuff though. So the privacy front and
oh yeah, but they're like, all the same kind of content.
Yeah. Do you just unplug
it?
Yeah, it's got a camera. Yeah, so you can video call and all the rest.
So that's another... I knew it had a screen, but I didn't know it had
one. And it's supposed to have a big light on the top to make it really obvious when it's being used.
But
the writer of my source said, if I'm not using it, I'll just unplug it. But part of me still got even the...
Yeah.
I wonder if it's got battery powered. It's... I don't know.
Oh, really? If you plug it...
I don't think it is. I think that's just paranoia.
Right.
I think that's just...
I'm okay with my Echo if... I'm fine with it. If I feel particularly paranoid at any point, I'll just put it on mute and I trust that it mutes. Like, I'm not...
Right. Okay.
I don't want to say crazy, but you know what I mean? Paranoid.
I didn't realise could mute it.
Yeah, there's a big mute thing on the top. And it goes red.
I thought that just muted the sound coming out, not the...
No, it mutes
the mic as well.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You can actually still play things out of it and still mute it.
Right. Oh, I didn't realise that.
It has a big mic sign on it with a line through it.
I don't really look at that. To be honest, I only really get involved with touching it when it drops off the Wi-Fi and I unplug it and plug it back in.
Oh, does it do that?
At my house.
Never done that.
Yeah, well, big house, very thick walls and terrible Wi-Fi. So it does it all the time.
But I have had cases where I don't know how certain adverts have been targeted to me, and that does make me worry, because the only thing I can think of is if the Echo's been listening after I've stopped talking.
Yeah, it records all the time, doesn't it?
It listens
always
all the time, and it says that it only saves things after the word, like, so mine's
after you've done
Echo,
the trigger. Don't say the safe word. That's a big thing. I'm not joking.
Okay.
So it was on like BBC
the
Clip.
Word. Yeah, even nobody reprograms it to be Echo. Everyone does Alexa. Did it again.
Oh well. So the thing was, someone tries to hack your house. So they phone up, realise there's no one in, put
but
an answer phone message.
Answer phone messages that play out loud anymore. That's very American.
I don't even have a home phone.
No, neither do I.
I wonder how common home phones are. Maybe they're not.
I think everyone who used to need one has one. Anyway.
Yeah,
off
sorry.
Point. It's pretty cool, but I don't think it's as groundbreaking as that article made it sound.
Yeah. Okay. And there was so I didn't realise that they'd rolled out voice chat and messaging on Alexa too.
Oh, have
they? But that might be the US only. Got to check. It said that got rolled out voice dialing and stuff last month. And they've rolled out intercom functionality so that if you've got the app on your phone, you can connect to Alexa at home and basically just snoop, listen to what it's recording. It's in the show notes, yeah. Apparently so. But again, I don't know if that's in the UK, and I don't know what flags you get on the device that it's actively streaming.
That's so weird.
That's a bit this is the bit where it all gets around privacy and a bit awkward. But
yeah, because I guess you are the owner of the Echo, but yeah, it's still a bit weird.
So I could put one in any of the kids' rooms, say, and if they've got friends over and listen to us. It just, it anyway, goes into awkward territory.
And open to hacking, I guess, as well.
Yeah, yeah, always open to that stuff. All right, what else? Tesco one-hour deliveries, iOS 11 released. I don't do iOS, so that means nothing to me. Potter at 20.
Woohoo!
Did you dress up or anything for it? No?
No, I tweeted, as people do on these kind of events.
Sweet.
It makes me feel very old.
I'm more a J.K. Rowling fan than Potter fan, but
What would you be a fan of her about that's not Potter?
So, the fact that she stands her ground and stuff on Twitter.
She's great on Twitter.
Yeah, I like her. The books, I don't really read that many books. I've watched the films.
Have you read them?
No.
Well, how can you call them?
So, no, I've started reading them, like, bedtime story-wise, but I've never finished. I've not finished a book in years.
I think the reason why my generation is such a fandom... No, seriously. He's making faces of the age.
My generation.
Seriously, though, because the books came out 20 years ago, I was 5. If that doesn't keep pushing the age thing even more. No, I was 5, and the first book, when it started getting bigger, was very much appropriate for, like, the 9 to 10 age group. Then the next one came out, and the next one came out, and then I grew up as the books got longer and darker.
Me too. Me too, being in my late 30s.
But it was just perfect for it. Now if anyone goes back and reads them, there's such a difference between reading the first one and reading the last one, I'd probably think that most people would give up by the second or third one.
Yeah. I mean,
because it's not really appropriate. But the last book is amazing. The last book's one of my favourite books in the world.
I'd say the cross-generational, those books, but appeal to all ages.
Oh, well, they do, but I think that you're more likely to give up if you're an older person reading the first few.
Let's keep going. Did you see the Mitsuku and the loneliness?
Yeah.
The AI loneliness thing and the chart of how much time you spend with friends as you get older and all that stuff?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure what to make of this.
No. My first reaction was to be really sad about it. But
yeah, me too. But then I kind of thought maybe that's just the natural way of things.
What, robots?
So I'll tell you what, I had a few different ideas going on. Right. One was, as you get older, this is kind of what the Facebook and social networks are out there for when you don't physically see people, but you want to try and...
You want to interact,
you want to stay in touch. And I think we've done this, we've talked about this before, which is like, you know, you feel like your life has got some sense of meaning when you share good and bad things with people. And when you've not really got anyone to share anything with, you kind of wonder, I think that's when you lose a lot of your drive to just keep going and doing stuff. That is taking it to morbid territory. But you got Facebook and social networks.
I know. And I see my nan and granddad, they both got iPads and they know how to use the FaceTime and stuff. And they also have the Find Friends so they can see where we are. And that actually, they enjoy that more than you would think somebody would enjoy that. Like, they like knowing what we're up to and stuff without having to, like, check. Annoy us, because they think they're annoying.
But I don't think you have to check with someone to...
But it just makes them feel more connected to our everyday lives. But the FaceTime thing is amazing. She'll FaceTime us, and we'll FaceTime them, and it makes us, like, have more... intimate conversations, but it's better than being on the phone.
Yeah, the bond's closer.
Yeah, and, like, they've got a little dog, so I get to see the dog and stuff like that and have that kind of conversation. But... This article made me feel really sad because robots have to.
Well, it said that people felt that same warmth and connection talking to AI.
I know, but isn't that really sad?
It feels slightly desperate.
Yeah, it feels sad. But then I thought it feels sadder than human contact. But these people aren't getting human contact, so it's not as sad as not having human contact.
Maybe just some contact keeps some kind of candle, some flame on either.
Yeah, it's kind of like a...
It's weird, because I hate PC video. whole different ballgame. That's obviously my issue. We better crack on. Amazon bought Whole Foods. Think about landing rockets on drones, being on call as a developer and what you can learn.
Yeah, I've been on call and I haven't been on call in two different jobs. I think being on call isn't as bad as it sounds because you should be putting things in place so you don't get woken up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
I think it's the only way that you build stuff to make sure that
you
don't
actually care. Yeah.
If you just hand it off to...
Not that you don't care, but...
But normally you hand it off to people who are younger and cheaper and live somewhere that's the other end of it.
Not necessarily. We've got an on-call team that in the daytime do more of like a network / infrastructure thing.
Right.
And then in the night, if something goes wrong, they only know the basics. So it's like restarting or that kind of stuff.
I mean, the thing is, if you do ops, you expect to be on call. I think almost every ops job is you on call as part of the contract.
Yeah.
It's only really development where people go up in arms about it unless it's there from the day one.
Mm.
But, you know,
be flexible.
Well, and most dev people do ops. There's like that bleed of DevOps where you do everything anyway, so it shouldn't be a thing. And 10 worlds discovered out there that are a bit like our own. Keep seeing all kinds. So if you ever follow the anonymous news feed, they keep threatening that NASA think they've found life elsewhere and they're going to announce it, but we'll see. Well, the anonymous news feed's quite interesting.
Is it the real one?
Hey?
Is it the real anonymous?
Yeah, but there's like they have lots of different accounts, but one of them is like news before it emerges. I'll put a link in it. Shortest FP book ever.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Short and sweet.
It's infographic.
Educational.
Yeah, it's all basics, isn't it? AST Explorer for Scala looked cool. Play 2.6 was out. A ton of blockchain stuff came out recently. I know that we're against the clock too. I know. So the $4 billion fallen from Ethereum's price because there was fake news that someone had died, that the creator of Ethereum had died.
It went back up pretty quickly, though.
Oh yeah. Well, he tweeted straight after that that he was alive. So, future-proof jobs.
I found this really interesting.
Okay.
More on like a, is it political level?
Political kind of.
It kind of reopened the whole thing we used to talk about, post-capitalism and la la la, and this feeling of, well, for me, it was this feeling of like 8-hour work days are a made-up concept.
Yeah.
Five working days of a week is a made-up concept.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. So why, if in the future we're replacing work with robots, it's like this panic of what people are going to do 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, when I feel like this really should be a bit of a mindset change about this.
Right, got
on. I like that one.
The lady breastfeeding in Australian Parliament.
I had two opinions of this. First of all, I was like, that isn't really the equality that I would have liked to have seen, because it's a case of the woman having to take a baby in. Is that professional? What if that baby had cried rather than just being peacefully breastfeeding, then it would have been a completely different story about how awful it is that women are allowed to do that or something like that. But then when I was thinking about it, and women, if they choose to breastfeed, are breastfeeding too, like,
if women choose to breastfeed,
are the ones who get pregnant and have a baby, and if they breastfeed, that's something they have to do. And actually it's quite empowering that even though that we're the ones who go through that process, that we can still smash it, basically.
She was raising a bill too. It was her bill to be there to come.
And it's cool she got to do it and have credit for it and see it through. I felt like there was a bit of two sides to the coin, but actually the overpowering one was that, like, overpowering, empowering. The one that kind of stood out to me was more of the empowering side of still being able to get it done.
Yeah, it's a good thing, guys.
Yeah.
I told you I went to a meetup last week, which was probably the first one I've been to for a long time, where a lady turned up with like a young baby that she was feeding while listening to the meetup, to the presentation, asking questions.
Mm.
I mean, it was weird. Well, not weird, but it shouldn't
different.
Be a thing where you notice. Mm. Really, it should be.
Yeah, but then what if a guy brought a child in?
it'd be weird if he was feeding it.
Yes.
Well, this kind of went through my head, I was like, anyway.
It did go through my head, I was like, what if a man did that? How would people feel about that?
Like in Meet the Parents, where he has that harness.
Well, no, I'm not thinking about the feeding, sorry. I'm just thinking of if they're the primary child carer, they, you know, that kind of stuff, how would that go down? But then I was thinking, would that be seen as unprofessional, bringing your child to work? But then I was thinking, no, that mother is probably there, needs the baby there because they're feeding. And that's a different story. Yeah, it was interesting.
Alright, racing through the other stuff. Videos from Hashdays London are out, Spinnaker 1.0 is out, Nelson is also out for automating CD pipelines too. And to the end finalies, but I might save some of these till next time.
Yeah.
So the Arnold programming language was out, people getting paid more for spaces than tabs, and then just picking one at random from the others that are there, because I'll move the others out till next time. Super Mario as augmented reality game. Yeah, pretty cool.
I've seen rumours about this for a while.
This guy running through a park. Actually, he looks ridiculous, but it's worth watching the video for. Events-wise, the only one that I was going to mention was MeaningConf.
In Brighton?
Which is, Brighton, end of November, which looks like it's kind of a post-capitalist.
Thank you.
Post-capitalist.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure Paul Mason has done keynotes at it before. It's got Vinay Gupta there this year. It's going to be wicked. Looks really good. Right, as ever.
Let's go.
Time to move. All right. Bye. Bye.